Lord, we come in our weakness. The Bible says that Jesus was crucified through weakness, and we are weak in him. It's a good weakness, because then we can have your strength. We are creatures of dust. To dust we all shall return. But in the interim, you have given us your spirit. And that is our strength, Lord. We thank you. And we pray now that you will just speak to hearts. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So the title of today's message is Why Wait? David says in Psalm 130, verse 5, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. Have you ever waited for anything? Sure, we spend a lot of time waiting, right? David said, my soul doth wait. Scripture says the Philistines were again invading Israel. And David inquired of God, and God said, you shall not go up after them. You shall not attack them. Rather go around and come against them, opposite the balsam trees. King James says mulberry trees. He says, wait until you hear the sound of the marching in the tops of the balsam trees. Then you go out to battle, not before. You wait, he said. A sound of the marching is probably the angels or the Holy Spirit blowing through the tops of the trees. But David, why do you wait? The Philistines have invaded your country. You command a mighty army. You have the best of weapons. Your soldiers are well trained. You yourself are a mighty man of war. Remember how the women sang after you came back from the battle against the Philistines? Saul has killed his thousands, and David his tens of thousands. You're a mighty man of valor. Why wait? You have beaten them before. You slew Goliath. You chased the Philistines back home. You are one of the chosen. You are the anointed king. They're just uncircumcised heathen. What are you waiting for, David? Wait, said God. For God has gone out before you to strike down the army of the Philistines. And David did as God commanded. David, why do you wait? Because God told me to wait. David did as God commanded. He waited, and then they struck down the Philistines. I wait for the Lord, said David. Again, Psalm 135. My soul doth wait, and in his word, in his command, in his statutes, do I hope, do I trust. Okay. David waited because God commanded him. His word was more important than his desire to fight the Philistines. David says in Psalm 27:14, wait for the Lord and be strong. It's a command. We are all commanded to wait for God. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Now we know waiting can be very difficult. There are others who will go ahead of us, right? We need patience to wait. Waiting reveals that we're not in control. Waiting usually involves some level of uncertainty. And our lives are full of waiting. We wait for a bus or a train. And that means you're not in control. The engineer is in control of that train. The bus driver is in control of that bus. And you just have to wait. And you cannot take your watch and move the minute hand so that the train or bus gets there more quickly. You can't do that. I mean, you could do it, but it won't work because you're not in control. We wait for doctor's appointments. Ralph Kim, wait for any appointments? Sure. Then you wait for results, right? Yeah. We wait in security lines at the airport. We wait for the significant other of ours to get ready, to get dressed, which is usually the wife that needs to, you know, take more time. waiting on hold for customer service, waiting in traffic, waiting for the red light to change to green. And after that happens, you wait for the guy ahead of you to notice the light has changed from red to green, right? Always waiting, always waiting. Hunters wait for the perfect shot. Right, Mike? Wesley? They wait for the perfect shot. Skiers wait for a good snowfall. Young men and women wait, hopefully, for the right soulmate. Employees wait for their paychecks. Desert dwellers wait for it to rain, and Londoners wait for it to stop raining. We're always waiting. Thursday, I went to a hospital in Valley Stream for my pre-surgical test for a knee replacement, hopefully this March. I waited in traffic for a while. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. I waited for valet parking to open up for me. I waited for the elevator to go down to the basement. And then I went to the waiting room, right, where you wait. Okay. And I waited for a technician to come out and start the testing. And then I waited while the tests were being done. I waited for the physician's assistant to come give me instructions. Again, I waited for the elevator, and again, I waited for the valet parking to get my vehicle. Life is filled with waiting. There are many in the Bible as examples to us of how we must wait. Joshua and Caleb were the ones, after just 2 weeks or so of traveling through the desert, ready to go up and take the city of Jericho. They were ready to go in and possess the promised land, but the other spies brought back an evil report. And so Joshua and Caleb, as collateral damage, had to wait 40 years before entering the land of milk and honey. They say Joseph was in prison. No one knows for how long exactly. They say between 2 and 13 years. Moses waited 40 years before God called him to lead the Israelites. Abraham and Sarah waited 25 years to have Isaac born. David waited 15 years to be king. Anointed by king, to be king by Samuel, and he had to wait 15 years. Job waited in pain anywhere from 1 week to 2 years. The 120 disciples waited 10 days to receive the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem, and Jesus waited 30 years to begin his ministry. We need to wait. The people at Google say 40% of users abandon a website that takes more than 3 seconds to load. That shows you how impatient we are. I can't wait more than 3 seconds. Then they go to another website. And Google says even a quarter of a second delay sends internet users to competing websites. You know, waiting has many good reasons attached to them. We wait for the bus or the train because we need to go somewhere. We wait for the doctor because we need medical attention. We wait for customer service on the phone much longer than we want to because we need assistance. Hunters wait for the perfect shot so they can feed their family. I waited for valet parking because I needed to get to my appointment on time. Usually, there is a good reason for waiting. On everything, but especially so waiting for God. It was Charles Spurgeon who said, "If the Lord Jehovah makes us wait, let us do so with our whole hearts. For blessed are all they that wait for him. He is worth waiting for. The waiting itself is beneficial to us. It tries our faith, exercises patience, trains submission, and endears the blessing when it comes." The Lord's people have always been a waiting people. But waiting is not just standing around doing nothing. There's action. When God told the people to go and finally possess the promised land under the leadership of Joshua, they came to that massive city, Jericho. The Lord said, see, I have given you into your hand. I've given Jericho. You shall compass the city. All you men of war go round about the city once. This you shall do 6 days. They were waiting, not fighting, just marching, just walking, just waiting. And when they blew the trumpets, the walls came down. So waiting on God is not inactivity on our part. It should not be. David said in Psalm 41 and 2, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, that horrible pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon the rock, making my steps secure, giving me sure footing so I don't fall back into that pit. He waited patiently, and the Lord heard his cry. Let's look at some reasons why we wait and what we wait for. Number one, why wait? Because if you're a Christian, you pray, and we want answers to our prayers. Augustine's mother, Monica, prayed for her son for many decades until he eventually came to faith in Christ. George Mueller, who's well known for taking care of thousands of orphans in a time in England, 18th century England, 19th century England, when there was no social services, he prayed for two of his closest friends to be saved. He prayed 52 years. Finally, after Mueller's death, they turned to Christ. One of our missionaries, Steve Schmaltz, prayed 20 years for his mother's conversion, sister's conversion, I'm sorry. And after that, she became a believer. William Gurnall says, never was a faithful prayer lost. Some prayers have a longer voyage than others, but then they return with their richer cargo at last, so that the praying soul is a gainer, a winner, by waiting for an answer. It was Ian Bounds that said, the longer the wait in prayer, the more glorious the result. Missionaries do a lot of praying, and they pray for basically one thing, for souls to be won for Jesus Christ. Adoniram Judson went to Burma, and he prayed daily, but he had to wait 6 years for his first convert. The missionaries that went to New Zealand and worked among the Maori tribes had to wait 15 years before they led a single soul to Christ. There's waiting. Charles Spurgeon said to his congregation one Sunday, oh, how I would like that every soul here should be washed in the blood of Christ. And that is our prayer for everyone here today, that you be washed in the blood of Christ. Would God that every one of you were robed in the righteousness of Christ this day and prepared to enter into his rest. Pray for it. Christian brethren and sisters, why should we not have it? Why this congregation, great as it may seem comparatively, is very little to God compared to the world? Why should there be one left out? Let your prayers encircle the whole house, as the Israelites encircled Jericho. Encircle the lost, whether it be one or many. Encircle them with your prayers, said Spurgeon. By thy mercy and by thy loving kindness, save all this gathered company. For Christ's sake, amen. Why wait? We wait for God to answer our prayers. Why wait? Number two, we wait for God to act. From of old, writes Isaiah, no one has heard of or perceived by the ear, no eye has seen a God besides you who acts for those who wait for him. God wants to relieve us of our actions, our control. We like to control things. David defeated the Philistines because and only because God acted. The Israelites defeated that great city of Jericho only because God acted. And there are times when people in the Bible did not wait for God. They were not patient. They wanted to be in control. Abraham and Sarah did not want to wait for a child God promised, so they took control, and Abraham took Hagar, and they had Ishmael instead of Isaac. Ishmael became leader of the Ishmaelites, who were enemies of the Jews. Moses knew that God wanted to use him to deliver Israel out of the bondage of Egyptian slavery, but he couldn't wait. He took control and he struck down an Egyptian that had to flee. The Israelites could not wait for Moses to come down from the mountain, so they took control. We want control. And they had Aaron build, fashion a golden calf. King Saul did not want to wait for Samuel to come and make the sacrifice, so he took control, and he lost his crown. God gave the crown to David. We wait for God to act. We pray and we wait. Number three, why wait? We wait for strength. Psalm 59:9, because of this, his strength, will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. Because of his strength, I wait. Not my strength, his strength. We know the scripture from Isaiah 40, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I mentioned the last few sessions about the elderly woman at the Christian Fellowship House where I'm chaplain, Dagny. And when I minister her, her mouth is open, gaping, her eyes open, sometimes closed. She's breathing heavy. She doesn't move. She's been in hospice for 2 years in the same bed. I said, Dagny, you can have the abundant life. Dagny, you can soar with the wings of eagles. People would think that's crazy if they heard me speaking to her like that. She can't walk. She can't turn herself over, yet she can soar. Hopefully she did soar, because Saturday when I visited her, I said, Dagny, I think you have only a couple of minutes left of life. Maybe an hour, maybe a day, Dagny. You don't have much. You will stand before God. You must put your faith in Jesus Christ. I went over to the other wing and I preached. I came back and Dagny was gone. She had about 45 minutes left of life. I hope she did soar like Lazarus was soaring to heaven on the wings of angels. As I say, and I'll say it again, those in hospice, they can have the abundant life. The poor can have it. The sick can have it. The dying can have it. And you can soar with eagles. Number four, why wait? We wait for our inheritance. David says, for the evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Be not slothful, we read in Hebrews, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. There are so many promises that we do not inherit because we don't have the faith and the patience. Only through faith and patience do we inherit the promise. I'm going to tell you a little bit more from John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, and we're in good company when we do that. It was Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China back in the 19th century. He would meet with his staff in the morning, they pray, they read the scripture, and he'd always share a portion of Pilgrim's Progress. Christian was making his journey from the city of destruction to the celestial city. It was not easy. Sometimes he failed and went astray. Eventually, by the grace of God, he made it. And he went to Mr. Interpreter's house. And there Mr. Interpreter showed him many things that were instructive to him. And takes him to one room, and there are two children sitting there in chairs. One named Passion, the other Patience. Passion, he could see, was not content. But Patience was very quiet. The governess wanted them to wait for the next year when they would receive their inheritance. But Passion wanted it now. And so a bag of treasure was laid at Passion's feet. But Patience sat still waiting. I'll wait. I'll wait. Passion lavished the treasure away. It was gone. He had nothing left. And Christian said, I perceive it is not best to want things that are now, but to wait till heaven. Why wait so far? We've learned that we wait for God to answer prayers. We wait for God to act, to take control. We wait for strength, spiritual strength, physical strength. We wait for the internal inheritance, eternal inheritance. Why wait? Number five, we wait for the coming of the Lord. Revelation chapter 3, I know your works. Jesus said to the church of Revelation, church of Laodicea, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods. See, like Passion, we want it now. We want our treasure now. You say you're rich and increased with goods, have need of nothing. You know not that you are wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. White raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear. Number five, why wait? So that we're not ashamed before the Lord at his coming. Many will be ashamed. Many who confess Jesus Christ to be their Savior will be ashamed because they never waited for him, always taking control of the situation. John writes, now little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Why did David wait for the sound of the marching in the top of the balsam trees? Why? So he wouldn't be ashamed running into battle and losing. I wait for the Lord. In his word do I hope. God commanded him to wait. Remember, don't forget that. God commanded him to wait. We wait on God. Let him take control of our lives. Let him take control of our actions, of our future. Indeed, none who wait for you, says David, shall be put to shame. Not one who waits on God, waits for God, will ever be ashamed at his coming. Will not be ashamed. Why wait, number six, to be blessed? Prophet Isaiah says, therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you? For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed or happy is the word in the Hebrew and the Greek. Blessed or happy are they that wait for him. So for a people who don't like to wait for much, we think happiness comes when things are on our time, on our schedule. But the Bible says God makes everything beautiful in his time, not ours. And if you wait, you will be blessed. If you wait for God to act, to move, you will be made happy. Right? Blessed or happy are they that wait for him. Solomon says, blessed is the man that hears me, watching daily at my gates and waiting at the posts of my door. Happy is that person who waits at my door. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Happiness or favor. Why wait? Number 7. To be prepared for his coming. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he shall return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Like the 5 wise maidens. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down at dinner, and will come forth and serve them. To open to him immediately. Which we might not think, the wise maidens did it. We know the foolish maidens had to go out and buy oil. And they came back, the door was closed. But the wise maidens, they were able to trim their lamps and go out to meet him. The Bible says those that were ready went into the wedding. So, why wait? To be prepared for the coming of Christ. Not to be surprised when we hear the call, behold, the bridegroom comes, go you out to meet him. Oh no, I haven't read my Bible in 6 months. Oh no, I haven't been praying. I'm not ready to meet the Lord. My faith has dwindled. It's decaying. Just like the 5 foolish maidens. They were invited to the wedding. They received the invitation to go to the wedding. But they were not ready. James says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth, and has long patience for it until he receives the early and latter rain. You know that early and latter rain, especially the latter rain here, is connected to the coming of the Lord. I have heard many ministries, preachers, talk about their church or their ministry as being the latter rain. One of those was Harold Camping, who dissuaded people from coming to going to church. He said, sit home and listen to him, because his ministry was the latter rain. I think the latter rain is very much connected to the second coming of Jesus Christ. That the revival that we really need in this world is at that time when Christ returns, maybe just before it, to prepare the church. The bride will make herself ready, waiting for his return, waiting for that latter rain. Number 8, why wait? Wait for what? Wait for grace. Isaiah says, Lord, be gracious unto us, for we have waited for you. Why should God be gracious to me if I don't wait for him? If I don't seek him? If I try to control everything myself? Lord, be gracious unto us. We have waited for you. Be our arm, our strength every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. James tells us that God gives more grace. The grace I had yesterday was not enough to get me up here to speak in front of you. Certainly the grace I had when I was born again many years ago is not sufficient for me today. God gives more grace. And he says, wherefore God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Do you want more grace? You have to be more humble. You must come humbly before him. Even beg for that grace. Plead for that mercy. God resists the proud. Submit yourselves therefore to God. And remember, James is writing to believers here. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart, you're double-minded. God gives more grace only to those who to submit to Him in humility. And you know, we are told to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. But we have to wait sometimes. That aid that we need, that assistance doesn't come automatically. We wait for it. And we wait until it does come. So, what have we seen so far? We wait for God to answer prayer. We wait for God to act and take control. We wait for strength. We wait for that internal, eternal inheritance. We wait upon God so we're not ashamed. For those who wait will not be ashamed. We wait so that we might be blessed and made happy. We wait to prepare for His coming. We wait for more grace. And we could add to that, number 9, David waited in the horrible pit, crying out until he was delivered. Maybe someone's fallen into the pit of despair, of loneliness, fear, worry, frustration. Wait upon God. He will deliver you. Cry out to Him, though. Cry out to Him. But what about the gift of salvation? Do we wait for that? Jesus told the parable in Matthew chapter 13 of the sower and the seed. For what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. There was no waiting. Immediately he takes the word of God. Yes, I want to go to heaven. I want to be saved. I want my sins forgiven. Yet he has no root in himself because it takes time to send down those roots. This believer had no time to do that. To gather up the stones, no time. But only endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arise on account of the word, immediately they fall away. Again, referring to Harold Camping, who started out well in his ministry but began to teach false things, such as there's no hell, such as God doesn't use the church anymore, such as He is the latter rain. He used to teach, did so for a few years. Wait for God to save you. People will call up and say, what can I do to be saved? Well, the biblical answer is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But his answer was, you can't do anything. Just wait. Wait. Martin Luther, the 16th century reformer in Germany, disagrees with that. Foolish reason scolds us when you say that a person can do nothing to obtain the grace of God. You foster carnal security. People become shiftless and will do no good at all. Better not preach this doctrine of faith. Rather urge the people to exert and to exercise themselves so that the Holy Ghost will feel like coming to them. Exert yourself. If you seek me with all your heart, said God, you'll find me. You know, if a Jewish person seeks God with all their heart, guess what they're going to find? Guess who they're going to find? They're going to find Jesus Christ. If a Muslim seeks after God with all his or her heart, they will find Jesus Christ. If an atheist seeks God with all their heart, I don't believe there is a God, but in case there is, I'm going to seek you, they'll find Jesus Christ. Same for a Buddhist or a Mormon. They will find Jesus Christ. Exert yourself. Seek God. Read the scriptures. That's how Lee Strobel, who was an agnostic, found Christ, began to read the scriptures. Yes, his wife witnessed to him, and God's grace was working on his heart. But he had to exert himself to find salvation. In the Bible, Jesus tells us the story of Zacchaeus, that little tax collector from Jericho. He was rich and despised by the people of Jericho. He heard that Jesus was passing through his city. And being of little stature, he climbed the sycamore tree. Jesus came by and said, "Zacchaeus, make haste, hurry up, and come down, for today I must abide at your house." But doesn't that tell us that we should make haste in receiving Christ? Well, Zacchaeus did make haste and come down, but he also sought a vantage point from which to see Jesus and wait for Jesus to pass by. He didn't climb up that tree the same time Jesus walked by. He was there waiting for how long, we don't know. So he sought a vantage point. And only then, after that invitation gripped his heart, could he become a believer. No, we shouldn't make haste. We shouldn't be quick to accept Jesus Christ. Unless we do, as Jesus said, count the cost. I've mentioned a few times how the evangelist Billy Graham was interviewed, and the interviewer said, "Don't you know that only 96% of the people that come forward at your crusades are following Christ a year later? All those other percent of people have fallen away. They don't go to church. They don't follow Christ." And Billy Graham said it was his fault because he did not preach the cost of discipleship. If anyone intending to build a tower should sit down first and count the cost. Don't jump in hastily. Count the cost. Jesus said, "If you would be my disciple, you must deny yourself." That's a cost. That's a cost. If you don't count that cost before, and Jesus preached that before he went to the cross. If you don't count that cost, what's going to happen after you start to follow Jesus and he says, "Hey, you haven't died to yourself yet. You haven't been crucified with Christ." Those that are Christ, says Paul, have crucified themselves. They have. Past tense. And that's why people turn away. They did not count the cost. I want to conclude with part of a hymn by John Wesley, which I do time by time. I don't know how they sang these. They don't seem to fit to music, melody, or the beautiful words. Wesley wrote, "For thy loving kindness, Lord, I in thy temple wait. I look to find thee in thy word, or at thy table meet. Here in thine own appointed ways, I wait to learn thy will. Silent I stand before thy face and hear thee say, 'Be still. Be still and know that I am God.' 'Tis all I live to know, to feel the virtue of thy blood and spread its praise below. Wake my vigor to renew, thine image to retrieve from the world of sin and noise, and hurry I withdraw. For the small and inward voice, I wait with humble awe. Silent am I now and still, dare not in thy presence move, to my waiting soul reveal the secret of thy love." Yes, we're commanded to wait for God. We're commanded to wait as Mary did at the feet of Jesus, waiting for him to speak, waiting for his word, when Martha was so busy cooking in the kitchen. So many Christians get so busy for God before they wait upon God and wait for him, wait for his will, wait for his action, wait for him to show you the way. So we are to wait for answers to prayers. They will come. We will wait for God to act and take control. We must wait for our strength. We can mount up with the wings of eagles. We wait for our eternal inheritance. We care not about the inheritances here. They're just trinkets and baubles and things that waste away. We wait so that we're not ashamed before him on his coming, at his coming. We wait to be blessed and made happy. We wait to be prepared for his coming. We wait for more grace. For God gives more grace. And we wait to be delivered from the miry clay. And you know, that applies to our body too. Our bodies are bodies of dust and clay. And we wait for the redemption of our bodies, and when we can receive a new body like his glorious body. Let's pray. Lord, help us to wait. Lord, we wait impatiently for many things, but we want to wait, and we can only wait patiently for you. Wait. Though it tarry, wait for it. It will surely come, but wait. We wait, Lord, because we hope in your word. You command us to wait. Your promises are yea and amen. And we have nothing to fear, Lord. We want you to act. We want you to take control. And someday you will take control of this world. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is the Lord. And I can almost say, I can't wait till that day, but I have to. We all have to wait for that day. For that latter rain to fall. Lord, give us patient spirit to wait for the salvation of our loved ones. But not wait idly, but to pray and to witness, to intervene when we can. All under your control. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.